Hi guys, welcome to video number 27 in the Canon 500D T1i and KISS X3 tutorial videos. In this video, what I'm going to do is take you through the settings that I use on the camera. Now, I'm not talking about exposure settings because they are different for every situation, but how I have my camera set up, what custom functions I do and don't use. Please know this is how I set my camera up, so you may want to do yours differently. Okay, so we'll have a look at the settings and features that I use personally on the 500D. These are my own settings and functions. You may shoot differently depending on what subject matters that you photograph, please know that. Now, I spend most of my time on manual. The reason is I prefer the consistency when you're working in modes such as aperture priority, shutter priority and other semi-auto or automatic modes. Then you're going to start to get a lack of consistency. Exposure is going to shift as the camera's meter starts to read the scene differently, as you compose differently, and then you're going to have a nightmare in post-production if you do any kind of editing or post-production to your images, equaling those all out if you want a series of images to look consistent exposure. Also, with shooting a lot of off-camera lighting, I prefer to use manual, and I can dial in my manual ambient light exposure and also dial in manually my flash exposure as well. Then when I start shooting, providing the ambient light doesn't change or my flash doesn't kind of crap out on me and start putting out different power, then shot to shot to shot is going to be consistent. Okay, now the camera is currently in manual focus, so just ignore that. It's just so the lens doesn't hunt or anything. When I half press the shutter, I shoot with the battle grip as well, although you guys know that. I use RAW most of the time. Sometimes I will change to RAW plus JPEG or shoot JPEG as well. So sometimes I will come down here and then switch to large JPEG or RAW plus JPEG if I'm taking pictures for tutorial purposes, for example, and I just want to drop the JPEG into the tutorial video rather than having to process and output the RAW files. Okay, I use the standard picture style. Here we go, standard one. Sometimes I will switch to the monochrome one if I want to know what a black and white image preview will look like, so it just gives me an idea. But generally, I will live on the standard picture style. I don't really bother with custom picture styles. I do have one on this camera for video. It rarely gets used now. The reason why I stick with standard is because I process my images with Adobe Lightroom, and it doesn't really understand the picture styles that well. You can teach it too, but I'm happy living on the standard picture style and then working my files with my editing process from then. So I generally do very little to my images in terms of processing. I don't spend hours in Photoshop, so I'm trying to get it right in camera and then quickly through Lightroom and then out and onto the next one. Okay, now white balance, which we'll have a look at. I typically use flash white balance a lot because I do a lot of flash work. I will change my white balance as needed to the relevant one that's closest to the situation that I'm in. Tungsten, fluorescent, cloudy, shade. Sometimes I will use auto white balance if I don't know what the hell the white balance should be and I don't have any kind of custom white balance card or anything, then I'll use auto white balance because it'll get me kind of close. Right, so sometimes I will use custom if I feel the situation needs it. Now the auto focus mode I typically work with is one shot or single, so that's once I've locked focus, that's it. It's not going to start to refocus or continually focus, because I'm shooting still portraits most of the time. Even if someone's going to be doing some run, jump, action, then I'll typically have them stand on the mark, pre-focus, and then run, jump, and when they hit the mark, I'll take the picture. If I'm shooting anything where someone's got to be continually moving and I want to do a sequence of images, then yes, I will use AI servo continuous focus, so it tracks focus then. And typically when I do that, I will use all of the automatic autofocus points active. If it's struggling, then I might use just the center one because that's the most sensitive one. Typically with the autofocus points, I am on manual selection. So I pick the one that I want to use, okay, depending on where the location on the frame is, or maybe the person's eye, for example, depending on where that is within the frame. Okay, and that's pretty much it for the back of the camera here. Actually, metering, whilst we're here, the metering mode. Now, metering mode, generally I live on evaluative metering. That's because I'm shooting manual, so So I'm dialing in my ambient light, my flash exposure, and whatever else, manually. And sometimes if I'm shooting natural light portraits, I'll go to spot metering, and I will meter a particular point in the scene to get me a rough exposure, get me started, take the shot. Once I've dialed that setting into manual, so I'll go to aperture priority, spot metering, take a spot meter reading. Once I've selected what aperture I want to work at, choose an ISO relevant for the situation depending on light levels, take a meter reading, it'll give me a meter reading, and then I'm going to go back to manual, dial that in. Metering mode in manual doesn't really matter, it's going to change what happens on the metering bar, how that's reading, but you're dialing in your exposure, so really it doesn't matter. And I'll take a test shot and evaluate it and see whether I need it brighter or darker that way. But typically, for the most part, I live on evaluative, like so. Okay, I've not currently got the eyepiece extender on because it fits in the bag better with that off. So that's why that's not on there. And we'll go on to the menus. Now, the first menu here, my menu, I have quick access to quality, the metering mode, flash control. There's some functions that aren't available without an off-camera, without an external flash gun mounted on the camera. But inbuilt flash is usually set to enabled. I rarely use it. TTL, you can't run it manually. First curtain or second curtain, depending on what I'm doing. Flash exposure compensation is usually zeroed out, and it will be changed if I do use it and need to. And evaluative ETTL, but that gets used very, very little inbuilt flash. Get your flash off camera, far better. Quick access to exposure compensation and exposure auto bracketing, or auto exposure bracketing, should I say. Custom white balance, and that they're the ones that I have registered in my menu for quick access. Now if we go back through, in fact we'll go through this way first. Nothing in here is really set other than the review time and the autofocus beep. Typically it's on if I need the camera to be quieter. Maybe if you're photographing an event, an example could be weddings, I don't do weddings, but if you're photographing in a church, you might not want to have that confirmed beep beep going off all the time. So you could turn it off. Now the review time, 4 seconds, that's fine. Peripheral illumination connection is for connection, correction, wow, it's late, I can't talk. It's to help prevent or reduce vignetting where you get dark edges of your frames. This is weird, mirror image, okay, and it kind of brightens up the corners. It holds data for a certain number of lenses, I can't remember how many off the top of my head, and some lenses it doesn't. My 35mm f2, for example, is so old, it doesn't know, well it knows what lens it is, but it doesn't have the information there. Typically I just run with that enabled, and that's fine. If I want a vignette, I would rather add it later in post-production, in Lightroom. So we'll go back into the menus. Okay, red eye reduction is off, that's for the on-axis on-camera flash. I very, very rarely use that. Okay, and that's the flash control menu, which we've already kind of seen there. So we'll go to the next one. Exposure compensation, well, that's exposure compensation, it stays there. I sometimes will use white balance shift. Rarely I will use exposure bracketing, because I don't really do HDR stuff. It's not my thing. White balance, you can actually change it further by going, I want it a bit cooler, go towards the blue, I want it a bit warmer, go towards the amber, or I want a little bit more green plus a bit warmer, or more magenta plus a bit warmer, and of course down to the blue as well. Sometimes I'll do this if I feel that if I want to get a good solid skin tone colour in camera, so I can show a preview maybe to a client, I might dial it in along with some test shots that way. But white balance, when you're shooting raw, you can change later on in post-production anyway. And that's typically what I end up doing. Color space, sRGB, rather than Adobe. sRGB is what most things use, websites, monitors, software packages and so forth. So I'm happy to run on that. Adobe RGB does have more colors, apparently, but I'm fine with sRGB. Perfectly fine with the results that I've been getting. Okay, so, boom. Picture style stays on standard. And dust delete data, I don't use because it's based on Canon's own software. And it makes no difference because I clean my own sensors, or if I find a speck of dust, I'll remove it in Lightroom, in post-production. Protect images is generally something I don't use. Transfer order, that's for when you're connecting a cable, transferring images from your camera to your PC. Great way to kill your batteries, by the way. Rotate is to rotate an image should it need it, and we'll go on to the next one. Okay, just quickly I'll cover this tab before I go into the other ones. I've got to do this video in two parts due to the recording limit on these DSLRs. Histogram, I always want to see the RGB histogram rather than just the brightness one. So when I look at some information, I want to see the red, green, blue. Typically I'm looking at the red channel for skin tones and making sure that I'm not peaking on the skin tones there. The brightness one you can press again to get that up, but I'm more concerned about the RGB. Okay, here we go. Back to that one. Slideshow, never used it. Image jump, so when you rock that front wheel, you just go one image rather than going 10, 5 or however many you want it set. Okay, so it just cycles through one image. Now, before we go through the next tabs, I'll just quickly cut here and then we'll come back and have a look at these next tabs and what custom functions I primarily don't use, because I use very, very few on my 500D. Okay, and we're back. So in this next tab, auto power off is at 4 minutes. You can set that however long you want to. File numbering continuous. Auto rotate is on for the computer. So whenever you get a preview up, you're going to see a full preview, whether you've taken it portrait orientation or landscape. This is landscape at the moment. But say if I took an image portrait orientation, say a portrait of a person, I want it to fill the screen this way rather than putting a small image in the middle. You might as well use the full screen to have a preview with. So I hate that rotate feature where it just gives you a small image preview. There we go. Format is format. Also, LCD auto off is enabled, so it powers down and saves power. Not that I've ever really had this thing run out of battery life with two batteries in. And the screen colour I use is number 4. The reason is it's a bit easier on the eyes in low light. These ones with the brighter white letters tend to be a bit harsh, I find. We'll go back there. LCD brightness stays in the middle. Basically set this and leave it. I've said this many times before, because when you're judging previews of images, if you're constantly changing the brightness, it can kind of fool you thinking the exposure is right when it's not. So I always leave it there. If you're in bright sunlight, then stick it under your jumper, use a coat or something else. I usually stick it underneath my t-shirt and then stick my head down the t-shirt to see preview on the screen. Which usually ends up with me explaining what I'm about to do to my clients and models that I'm working with, because it kind of looks weird with you sticking your head in your t-shirt. But anyway, here we go. And we'll go to the next one. So, date and time, video system, PAL, sensor cleaning, live view function settings. I have live view enabled, should I want to use it, grid display, metering timer, 30 minutes, so it doesn't kind of shift on the meter once I've got the exposure set. AF mode is the quick mode. So when you are in live view, okay, you get the quick AF mode, which shows you the autofocus points that you can see there. So I can select which one that I want to use. I don't use any of the other focusing modes, like, for example, the face detection. Yes, never, ever use face detection in any cameras that I've owned. Okay, here we go. And we'll go to the next tab, and we're into the custom functions, which we'll go through now. Firmware, latest one, 1.1.0, I'm pretty sure, correct me if I'm wrong. Now, custom functions. Flash sync speed, that's the fastest shutter speed you can use when you're working with flash. In AV mode, automatic. I've never used flash in aperture priority. It's just not something I do. I'd rather work in manual. Manual mode to have control over my ambient light. I might sometimes do ETTL with on-camera speed light flash, but I'm still typically running manual on the shutter speed to get things dialed in for the ambient light. ISO expansion is on, so that allows me to select all the range of ISOs, even though that one is really noisy. So should I need it to get a shot, because getting a shot rather than not getting a shot is more important, really. So I'd rather take noise than a blurry out of focus shot, unless I want a blurry out of focus shot. Anyway, so exposure level increments, I work in 1/3 stops, so I've got more fine tuning of my exposure, be that in camera with shutter speed, aperture. You can't do 1/3 stops with your ISO on this camera, Even though the automatic modes can select those ISO those ISO speeds, you can't actually choose them manually. So I always work with 1/3 stops because that's more fine tuning control over your final image and the exposure. Add original decision data, never used it, it's some additional add-on that you can get from Canon. Retain power off status is on, so whenever the camera gets turned off it remembers the settings basically. There you go, assign set button, so when you're in this here, hit the set button and it goes to this quick set screen so I can pick which thing I want to go to change. If I had that set differently, then I could have that thing bring up image quality options and other options down there. Now shutter, which is when you half press the shutter, it goes autofocus, confirms and locks focus, and auto exposure lock. So if I am in aperture priority, for example, when I half press the shutter, it locks my exposure. It's not going to shift. Okay, and that's the mode that I use there, or the function. Mirror lockup I will sometimes use when I'm working on a tripod at really slow shutter speeds, because as that mirror flips up, it can sometimes cause a little bit of vibration, causing blur, even when you're on a tripod. So if I'm working slow shutter speeds on the tripod, then I'm going to use mirror lockup. Typically it's disabled, because I very rarely work on a tripod. Don't like them. Okay, AF assist beam firing is only for external flash, so external speed lights. The reason is, when you have the camera AF assist beam work, it's not a little lamp. It pops up the flash and then strobes the inbuilt flash, which is annoying, very annoying. It annoys me, so I'm sure it annoys other people. And with doing a lot of portraits, I don't really want that happening. Okay, so I'd rather use the external flash, because it's a different autofocus assist beam. It's not as intrusive as a flash going off. Auto lighting optimizer, disabled. I never really use it because I shoot raw, shooting manually. So I decide what happens in camera, and I decide what happens after that in post-production. Highlight tone priority is disabled. Again, same reasons really. You might have been expecting me to use all these kind of fancy custom functions, but shooting manual, you don't really need to. High ISO speed noise reduction is disabled. I typically want to have control over the final image quality, so if I do need to do any noise reduction in Lightroom, then I will do that myself and not have the camera bring in some noise reduction automatically. Long exposure noise reduction is off. That may change if I'm doing long exposures, depending on what the final output is. If I want to work with a JPEG straight out of camera, I will probably change that. And then we're back to the flash exposure sync. So there we go. That's typically what I have my camera set up for. Like I say, the exposure settings really irrelevant, but I'm usually running manual. ISO 100 to 400 range typically. Picking my aperture based on the depth of field that I want, what I want sharp in the image front to back, and then working with the exposure reciprocals to dial some things in. Sometimes it requires a compromise and a change on certain things, certainly when you're working with off-camera lighting, but that's usually what I run with. And the flash, typically the flash, the camera usually has a wireless trigger mounted on the top whilst I'm doing that. Now, if you've got any questions or comments, by all means, stick them below. I hope this video has been of some interest and some use for you. There will be further videos coming up for this camera. I'm having a bit of trouble with YouTube at the minute uploading, which is a nightmare, but I will get them up there for you eventually, even if it means driving over to Liverpool and using somebody else's connection or their account, well, not their account, but their PC. So I can't figure out what the issue is at the moment. And any questions, email me. Stick them in the comments below. Subscribe, like, comment, share, all that stuff. Check out newtophoto.com as well, and the New to Photo channel. And I will catch you guys in the next video.